بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة، ولا يزكيهم، ولا ينظر إليهم، ولهم عذاب أليم: شيخ زان، وملك كذاب، وعائل مستكبر. رواه مسلم. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ narrates that رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said, Allah will not speak to three people on the day of Qiyamah, neither will he purify them nor look at them. In this world, if somebody doesn't speak to us, how do we feel? And if somebody that we got great hope and great love for, like the person has got hope or love for his son, and now his son is not speaking to him, how does he feel? Or like that, his father is not speaking to him, how does he feel? On the day of Qiyamah, all the hope and all the love will only be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that day, Allah Pak is saying that He won't look at the person, won't purify them, nor will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak to them. What it means, Allah Pak will deprive these three categories of people of these khususi rahmat. His rahmat won't be for these people. Allah Pak not looking at them, not speaking to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not purifying them, it's a very serious thing. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining three categories of people. So the first one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that shaykhun zanin, that a person who is old but yet he's committing zina. In other words, he's old, he's in that age now where his passions and shahwat and all not so high, but yet he's going in the disobedience, deliberately going in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is a young person. Young person is full of desires, full of passions, and he makes a mistake. Now that overarching desires that he has, that can be some type of mitigating circumstance. That's why he got involved in haram. But an old person getting involved in zina, this is something that is very serious. That means the person doesn't have respect for the command and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite him not having so much of passions, yet he's getting involved in this type of haram. The next is a lying, a king that lies. King that lies. How often you find that today, leaders lying, kings that are lying. Now why, we may ask ourselves, why specifically a king or a ruler that is lying? Ulama explain is that when a person speaks lies, sometimes it's out of fear of the person that he's speaking to. When he's speaking to a certain person out of fear, so he may speak a lie. Or sometimes to impress the next person, he goes and he speaks a lie. So this is sometimes this is what he speaks lies for. This is the reason he does it. But a person who's the king, what reason does he have to speak a lie? Nobody, he doesn't fear anybody. He's the authority himself. He doesn't need to impress anybody. He's there in that position of authority. He's supposed to be only speaking the truth. What is there to impress anybody about? He is what he is. He needs to say what he needs to say. So now at that position, you're speaking a lie, it makes it even more severe. And the third category is a poor person who is proud. Poor person who is arrogant, poor person who is proud. Reason again is when a person has got wealth, person has got position, then this can be means that causes a person to become proud and arrogant. He's got that wealth, he's got that position. So these can be mitigating circumstances why a person is proud. But a person doesn't have these things and yet he shows pride and arrogance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. So this is the third category of people. Now all these gunas are serious gunas, and we can see in today's time how often it's taking place, whether it's old people getting involved in haram, whether it is with kings and rulers speaking lies and getting involved in fraud and getting involved in all types of deception. Or the third category also is people that are poor, generally poor in society, but yet how arrogant people are. Each one has to look at ourselves, but we have to see that have we got these qualities in us so that we can improve on it. وَعَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ سَيْحَانُ وَجَيْحَانُ وَالْفُرَاتُ وَالنِّيلُ كُلُّ مِّنْ أَنْهَارِ الْجَنَّةِ. رواه مسلم. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the Sayhan and the Jayhan, these two rivers, and Wal Furat, the Euphrates, Wal Nil, the Nile River, Kullu min Anharil Jannah, all these rivers are from the rivers of Jannah. Ulama give a few explanation to what is meant by this. What is the source of the river is from Jannah. Or the other is that because of the quality of the water being superior to the other quality of the water of this world, therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has referred to it as the rivers of Jannah. That is another explanation, that the towns, that some of the towns that these rivers flow through, these are Mubarak towns. So because these are Mubarak towns, blessed towns, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the rivers that are flowing through them also are the rivers of Jannah. And one more hadith, and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu qal, أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيدي فقال خلق الله التربة يوم السبت، وخلق فيها الجبال يوم الأحد، وخلق الشجر يوم الاثنين، وخلق المكروه يوم الثلاثاء، وخلق النور يوم الأربعاء، وبث فيها الدواب يوم الخميس، وخلق آدم عليه السلام بعد العصر من يوم الجمعة في آخر الخلق في آخر ساعة من نهار فيما بين العصر إلى الليل. رواه مسلم. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held my hand and said, and this was the love and muhabbat that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would show to Sahaba. Sometimes he'll tell them something, and sometimes he'll tell them whilst holding the hand. The person feels special, and my friend held my hand and he told me this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sometimes will do this, and sometimes he'll whisper in a person's ears also, so the person listening feels even more important. So this was the love that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for Sahaba, and this was the different methods that he used to impart deen and to impart knowledge. So therefore Sahaba would take it seriously, every word that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because of the style and the manner of teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam caught my hand and he said this, Allah Ta'ala created the earth on Saturday, He created the mountains on Sunday, He created the trees on Monday, He created detestable things on Tuesday, He created light, Noor, on Wednesday, He spread out the animals on the earth on Thursday, and He created Adam alayhi salam after Asr on Jumu'ah, and He is the last creation in the last hour of the day between Asr and the night. So from here, one thing we learn from here also is that Allah Pak kept Ashraful Makhlukat, the best of creation, for the best of days. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created Adam alayhi salam on a Friday, and also in the best of moments on the Friday between Asr and the night, meaning between Asr and Maghrib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created Adam alayhi salam. One question might come to the mind, that why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these things on different days, as we can see from this hadith, that Allah Pak chose different days to create different things. So one hikmah that ulama explained is that Allah Pak doesn't need to do this. Allah Pak just needed to make irada. Allah Pak just intends and it will come into wujud one shot. There was no need for different days. Like sometimes you're building a project, you got phase 1, phase 2, phase 3. But Allah Pak, there's no need for any phases, no need for any days. Immediately all these things could have come into existence. But to teach us something, ulama say, to teach us something, that how important it is to be organized, how important it is to be methodical, how important it is to be thoughtful in what you do also. There was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Pak's thought process are perfect, 100% perfect. There is no such thing as any deficiency in the ilm of Allah. But to teach us that when we are planning to do things, be organized. Know what you're going to do, as you're going to do it. Plan it, be organized to such an extent that how you even keep your equipment, how you keep your tools, how you keep the things in your home, how you keep the things in the business, how you keep your desk also, the cleanliness, the neatness, the methodical behavior, the organization, all that is shown to us, all that is part of the. Think about it, a person who's a carpenter and he knows exactly where his tools are. When he asks for a certain tool, he'll get it immediately. Person is a dentist, person is a doctor, he needs a certain piece of equipment. If it's all kept in its place, then how easy it becomes for him to work. So here what we are taught, be organized. And so many of our Buzranuddin were like this. If they were to send somebody to the library, they'll tell him, go up to the library, go up to their book place, book area. Then on the second shelf, third kitab is a red kitab, please bring that kitab for me. In other words, they knew exactly which kitab was kept in which place also. So this was methodical, organized. And if it wasn't kept back in a place like that exactly, they would even reprimand the murids that this is not the way to do it. Hazrat Mawla Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi, when his khadim would open, or the students that would help him to open the letters, if they would just tear that envelope, he'll shout them and say, why did you tear the envelope? You should have taken the time of slowly opening it so that you don't tear that envelope. We could have saved that envelope. As the Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullahi alayhi, when sometimes letters would come to him, and when those letters that didn't need any response, people wrote to give some news or something, then what will happen is there would be a small piece of that letter that was unused. He would tear the thing out, he would keep it neatly. He says, why must we waste this also? This is also paper that can be used. So they were so careful of even the pieces of paper around, they were so careful of how they utilized things, how they did things. So one lesson we learn from today's hadith is that a Muslim is always organized, he's methodical, he's clean, he's decent. So therefore when you're putting our shoes on the rack also, ensure that it's put neatly. Person is parking his car also, ensure that it's parked properly. Therefore, Mawlana Yunus Patel rahmatullahi alayhi would say, they don't just park your car and come away. He said, park your car, take a small walk around the car and see that your car is not parked too close to the next person. He can open his door properly and he can come out if he needs to jump in. Or if you want to be a little bit long, there's enough space for that person to reverse and move out. So take your time, do these things, and see that you are also organized. Allah Pak give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.